Jumping off buildings isn't the only way to defy the seemingly impossible. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk with three of the innovators and idealists in town for Tuesday's TEDx Kansas City event, celebrating its fifth year, coming up this year, as a matter of fact. Now joining us is Army Major Alistair McCartney, who stunned Kansas City this morning with his death-defying leap off the top of the Liberty Memorial downtown, his fall broken only by a parachute. Major McCartney has performed feats like this one all over the world. His jump today was captured by all sorts of cameras. You can see it right now at kcur.org. Major, a pleasure. Glad you're still with us, and nice to have you here in the studio with us this morning.
Steve, thanks for having me.
You jumped off the Liberty Memorial. Why, Alistair?
Well, essentially, why not? I mean, it's 217 feet
tall. I can think of a few reasons, yeah.
There's a number of reasons, but, this is the World War I Museum. I'm from the UK military,
yes.
And this is 99 years after the start of the First World War. And it was a real honor for me to jump from there, and I had the U.S. flag in my jumpsuit. I landed and was able to give that to a U.S. Vietnam veteran, and together we were then able to take that and put that up and really think about those that have made the ultimate sacrifice. I've served with U.S. soldiers, so, you know, the U.K. military, U.S. military standing shoulder to shoulder, side by side throughout all of this, from the First World War, you know, and even now. It's a really fantastic experience.
You know, the Liberty Memorial is tall, you know, but it really isn't all that tall. You said 214 feet?
217.
217. Okay. Is that short? I mean, does that make you a little more nervous about when you step off the top?
It's shorter than perhaps some of the wingsuit jumps that I do, absolutely. But I have jumped lower altitudes than that, so it was quite a comfortable short jump. And the advantage we have is the 217, that's the vertical drop. It's then probably there's a wall that it's on that it's probably another 50 to 70 feet on top of that. So it's actually a pretty comfortable jump.
It was a comfortable jump.
Yes.
I wouldn't think just by looking at it that it would be, you know. So you stand up on top of that thing and you're ready to step off and you're thinking what, Alistair?
Well, initially, this has been planned for months. So, you know, we've really worked it out, and I've been assessing the conditions of the day and the winds coming in different directions and at different altitudes. But, you know, without a doubt, I was scared. You know, there was fear.
You're
going
human.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, essentially what I was doing was fairly safe. I mean, that will sound dumb to some people, but it was, because we'd spent so much time planning it and getting it right and training, and I have a lot of experience in this area. But, you know, we grow up, we go to school, you know, we learn, we know from day one that you cannot jump off stuff and survive. You know, we know that. We're taught that at school. So no matter how much training I do, how much I mitigate the risks, there's still something in the back of my head saying, there's something not quite right here. So, of course,
I'm glad to hear you say that, actually. Yeah, that sounds like you're a real human being then.
Yeah. And you know, so, of course, I'm scared. It's you feel some danger in there, and you've got that fear. But as well as that fear, I've got focus and concentration. And then as I step forward, as my C of G moves to that point of no return, that's when the fear goes. And it goes because now my mind is fully, fully focused. Concentration, and for some reason when I jump my brain is able to process information a million times faster than normal. It's like Google Fiber has suddenly been inserted into my brain and in processing so much information that, you know, if anything were to not go quite right, I'm already five steps ahead of the game, not one or two, and I've planned it all. But as soon as I jumped off the, you know, and I felt this crack as it all opened up, I didn't even need to look up and check, because with experience I knew the feeling that everything had opened just as it should have done, and I was able to fly out a little bit to the left, back to the right, and then come down and land in front of everybody there, and then unzip my jumpsuit, get the flag out, and hand that over to the Vietnam veteran.
We're visiting with Army Major Alistair McCartney, who jumped off the Liberty Memorial this morning, the top of the Liberty Memorial, and deployed a parachute, floated safely back down to Earth. You know, as you're standing up there and you look 360 degrees around you from the top of that tower, what's underneath you is really just a lot of concrete from that vantage point, right? There's no, the grass is a little farther away.
Yeah, immediately it's concrete. But as I jump off forward, and I had some wind to my back. And so I had some wind to my back. I'm jumping off, and I push off a bit. And then once the chute opens up, it's actually flying forwards as well. So I'm very, very quickly actually over some grass.
You deployed that chute. If you watch the video at kcur.org, you'll see that chute. You deploy it very, very quickly. Did you pull a strap, or did you do something off the back of your backpack, or what did you do?
Yeah, I used a static line technique. So I was actually attached by a static line fixed to the roof of the object there. So as soon as I went off, it all started to automatically work.
So it automatically deployed then?
Yes.
Yeah. Why did you do it that way as opposed to deploying it yourself?
I decided that on this jump, and I could free fall from that height if I wanted to, but I felt that we needed to get this go to happen textbook right, and therefore, you know, I wanted maximum time once I'd opened up so I could land exactly in the right place. And so if I free-falled, I would open lower, which would be fine, but I just eliminated more margin for error by doing the static line, allowing me to open that tiny bit higher so I could do this as safely as it possibly can be done, and so that I can land exactly where I needed to land, because I was carrying the American flag. I couldn't compromise that. I had to get that to the right place to be with a Vietnam vet to take that over and put that up.
You know, you've been jumping all over the world. I saw the number somewhere in my notes here. What, 7,000? Yeah, 7,000 jumps over the years.
7,000 skydives and over 600 base jumps.
You know, so last night as you go to sleep, are you worried, or did you go to sleep pretty easily?
No, nerves is perhaps the wrong word, but I'd say tension was there, because I'm still, you know, I've planned every possible thing, and I've worked out if something goes wrong or something doesn't go 100% to plan, what do I do about it? And I rehearse that and again and again and again in my mind, so that if something doesn't go textbook right, I already know what to do about it. Because, you know, when you're doing jumps at this height with that amount of time, if you have to think about what you're going to do, that split second means you're reacting too late. So I have to know already what I'm going to do and rehearse it again and again. So as I'm lying there in bed, I'm thinking about, you know, all of those different options. And if one of those happens, what I'm going to do, and I go over it again and again and again. You cannot train too much.
You know, I remember one time when I was a freshman in college up at Wisconsin at Madison, they had an offer for students to go up and jump out of a plane in Tomah, Wisconsin. I remember the place. Saturday morning, you get up really early, you go up there, and you go through all the training, you know, from 7 a.m. to noon or whatever. And I remember as the hours went by and I was getting closer to the time I was going to get out in that plane and jump, I was getting more and more and more nervous. And you repeat these procedures so many times that I was thinking I would repeat them to the point I would do the wrong thing and you panic and really mess up your prospects when you were up there. But just the idea of stepping out on the stirrup of that plane and hold onto the wing and let go, I was having a real hard time with that. And then it turned out the wind came up and they canceled the jumps for the afternoon. I never did jump. And it was always one of those things on my bucket list that I wanted to do, and I still haven't done. Then I watched George H.W. Bush do it all the time. I think, well, if he can do it, I can do it. Have you broken anything over the years from all this? Eggs, legs, ankles, arms, anything?
No, I've been fortunate. I've had the odd rough landing, but I haven't broken any bones.
Never once in 7,000 jumps.
No, I broke a bone as a kid when I fell off a stool backwards. But that's the only broken bone I've had in my life, I'm afraid.
Stool backwards.
Yeah.
That's a different deal. 816-235-2888 if you want to join our conversation with Army Major Alistair McCartney about his jump off the Liberty Memorial. Again, 816-235-2888. Our email address, up to date at kcur.org. You can also tweet us at KCUR up to date. So you tell us about some of the places where you have jumped that go well beyond Kansas City, Alistair.
I set a world record for the most number of jumps in 24 hours when you pack your rig yourself. People have done more, but they've had multiple rigs, and that was in Malaysia. So that was pretty fantastic. But I think my ultimate jump was when I jumped with my teammates in Switzerland from the infamous north face of the Eiger. And we flew a three-man human flight wingsuit formation and passed an area known as the Murderous Wall. And that was it was a pretty epic expedition. It didn't all go to plan. Teamwork really had to kick in. We ended up with a guy on the first jump landing in the trees. We had to rescue him, how that would all go. And actually at TEDx KC, which I'm talking at tomorrow night, I'm going to show a video of that jump as well. And it's a really exciting thing. And for TEDx KC, the theme is Defy Impossible. And that's exactly this morning what I've just done as well.
Yeah. Tell me about jumping off the Eiger, and what made that jump different than what you did this morning at the Liberty Memorial?
It's much higher. So I was flying a wingsuit. The wingsuit has wings between the arms and the legs, and these inflate, and we can turn the whole body into an aerofoil and fly forward at speeds of 130 miles per hour. And when you're jumping with your teammates and you're flying in formation, that makes it so much harder as well. The teamwork needs to be there. You have to trust that other person, because if they were to slam into you at any stage, or just go off and knock you, and they could send you into that wall, that mountain. So you've got to totally 100% trust them and what they're doing. So all of that put together makes it so fantastic. And we also had logos on our suit for the Royal British Legion, which are a veterans association back in UK. And so we do lots of work to get you know, the message out there for the fantastic work they do for troops that are currently serving in the military or have served, and they support all of those and their families. And we often forget about the families as well, and that's so important. When, you know, a wife or husband goes off on operation somewhere, their family's left behind, and they have a lot to contend with and deal with and not know what their loved one is getting up to.
Alistair, explain what a wingsuit is a little bit to our audience here, because again, that's not a parachute, a very different kind of deal. Just it's a suit strap you're wearing on your body. What's it look like, and why does it work?
It looks like there's basically big wings between that attached basically at the wrist through to the middle of through to the waist on each arm, and then between the legs there's a big wing as well. So there's three main wing areas on the body. So we open our arms and our legs, and these wings are an aerofoil, and so they inflate. Air is rammed into these wings. They inflate.
Think flying squirrels, what you're talking about.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. And with that, once that inflates, you know, you can fly forwards at speeds of 130 miles per hour. So we roughly halve our vertical speed, and we can so significantly increase the horizontal speed. And it's the closest thing that I believe you can currently get to true human flight, to being with the birds, flying like they do. And it's such an incredible experience that I remember I did my first wingsuit jump in the mountains, 3,000 feet above a Norwegian fjord. And it's so incredible. And I really believed I was flying. And I remember I landed, I looked back up at the point where I jumped from, and I honestly couldn't believe that everybody isn't doing this, because it's so amazing, so incredible.
Wow.
And if you haven't done it, you have to try it. And I recognize that it's not quite as simple as that, and you need to do lots of jumps and training, but it's such that much of an incredible experience that people have to get out there and do this.
You can be in the air for how long in a wingsuit?
It all depends on the height that you jump from. But for instance, I was jumping from a mountain in Italy that's about 4,000 feet high, and I was probably flying in free fall in the wingsuit for about a minute. So 60 seconds from that height.
Tell me about landings in a wingsuit. I'm not sure I quite get that.
A parachute opens up.
We do get a parachute.
Yeah, we're not at the level yet where people can consistently land their wingsuits.
Meaning that you think
in a survivable way.
You think we will be there before too long?
Yeah, we will. There's actually a British guy landed one. He's a stuntman. They had the stuntman set up cardboard boxes that, and he flew into these cardboard boxes and landed one there for the first time, I think, last year. And I know there are other people that are working on other ways to do that. It's technology and time. And some people think perhaps it won't happen because of the weight and mass and the maximum size of the wing area that we can get. But, you know, this guy proved that, something like that can perhaps happen in the future. So, everything moves on and somewhere, sometime, I'm sure we'll find it can be a lot more survivable experience.
The toughest jump, the scariest jump you ever took was what?
Oh, the scariest jump. That's a pretty tough one. I would almost say the scariest jump might be the same as the Eiger jump because, we had to get it right. We were filming it. Lots of money had been invested into it. And the teamwork was critical. Everything had to happen exactly at the right time. You know, if one person exited a split second too early or late, the other person who was having to jump through some smoke, because we had a lot of smoke going on the exit point and stuff, couldn't see him. They had to trust that people would go when they went. You know, if one person went a bit late and the other one behind them went a bit early, they could hit each other as they exited, send someone to tumble into the mountain and stuff. So, there was lots going on and watching my teammate open quite low and then immediately landing in the trees and that sort of thing. It was a really emotional, incredible experience. But, the leadership and the teamwork there was so important to make that work.
There are photographs of Major Alistair McCartney jumping from the top of the Liberty Memorial on our website right now, kcur.org. Again, he speaks tomorrow night at TEDxKC. The event is sold out, but you can watch a live stream of that event. We have a link to that at kcur.org to get more information about that. And Major, such a pleasure to have you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're still here.
So am I, Steve. Thank you very much indeed for having me.
Good luck with TEDxKC, too.
Thank you.
You bet. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR up to date. Well, jumping off buildings isn't the only way to defy the seemingly impossible. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk with three of those innovators and idealists in town for Tuesday's TEDxKC event. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, and Beth Lipoff. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.